Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sunday night, all boils down to this. The Steelers, the biggest underdog in wild card weekend history. Mike Tomlin might tell you that's exactly where they want to be. They like the us against the world mentality. Ben Roethlisberger playing it up. Cam Hayward surprised that they're not a bigger underdog. They love that martyrdom, woe is me card. Don't give us a chance. We want to shock the world. Steelers and Chiefs. Ryan Clark, Steelers Super Bowl champion. The best NFL analyst in America is with us. Ryan, I think to paraphrase, you said this morning, the Steelers are dangerous because they're not dangerous, something like that?
Well, see, that's what Dan Graziano said, and I had to paraphrase it for him.
Ah, okay.
He was basically saying, you know, he was trying to say it in a more eloquent way than I actually put it, but I just made it simple for the people because that's what I'm here for.
Yes.
I'm here to communicate. So basically what he was saying was the Steelers ain't got no chance, and since they ain't got no chance, that makes them dangerous because they can play free. I don't necessarily know that if it works that way or if that's even true, but I'm going with it because it gave me hope.
As a Steeler who has been in these battles before, not as a two-touchdown underdog, but when you guys really felt like you came into the game and everyone was picking the other team, did you actually feel like that helped you in a game? Did that make you guys better?
You know, it was crazy. I actually don't know when we ever played a game where I felt like everybody was picking the other team.
Yeah.
I think you could probably say, you know, 07. That was the 18-0 year for the Patriots. Had I played in that game, I would have felt like everybody was picking the other team. I was sick during the time. Troy was out as well.
And Anthony Smith was out there.
Yes, yeah, Anthony Smith played. He guaranteed
the pride of Syracuse, pony.
I know.
Yeah, and so, you know, so that's probably the only time. Like, we just never had that feeling. And I think you never have that feeling, too, when you are a Super Bowl champ. And then when you do still have much of that core, you kind of carry that confidence throughout. It's not just about the present. It's just about, you know, all your experiences. So this is a different situation. Like, I feel for the organization as a whole, right? For Ben Roethlisberger, for Mike Tomlin, Cam Hayward. And I think they are playing it up. I think they do feel it. And we're also in a time now, Pony, where information is so easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know how people are feeling about you.
Yeah.
And two, self-awareness is the best awareness. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers know that they ain't good. You know what I mean? And not in any way to be disrespectful, but they know they aren't a team that has played at the level where they believe they should be the Super Bowl favorite. Not necessarily that they believe they can't win it, but where they believe they should be the Super Bowl favorite, or where they believe they should be one of the teams that people feel are at the top of the playoff picture. And you got to know that. And knowing that, you got to go out and do your best to keep this game close and give Big Ben an opportunity to be great late. Not necessarily the entire game, but late.
The funny thing about, like, all of the us against the world mentality stuff is, at least from an outsider's perspective, Ryan, we do know that they're basically a two-touchdown dog. I do think it is easier, if you're Mike Tomlin, to get your guys to play free and easy when that's the reality, like that's the actual point spread, instead of trying to like tell them that or convince them that nobody's picking them in a coin flip game. Like, I hear Andy Reid saying things.
They're
in
a number
public,
one seed.
That they're playing like a number one seed. And you know what goes through my head? I'm like, his players have to hear that and think he's completely full of it. They know what the film
they just
shows
crushed
on this
the Steelers.
Team. They're not. What are they playing? Like a number one seed in the FCS playoffs?
No, they're. That's very funny. Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid is doing his best to get his team, to keep his team involved, right? To keep his team engaged. When you beat somebody 36-10, you know, four weeks before, it's hard to get them to say, you know what, I believe this team is good. You're going to have to sell, you know, T.J. Watt wasn't healthy. You're going to have to sell, okay, look at Ben Roethlisberger and the way that he's finished the last few weeks in the sense of finishing games, and that if you let this team stay close and that they're in striking distance, that they can win. That's more the sell you have to make than, you know, trying to put makeup or lipstick on a pig or, you know, or looking at a guy who on a 1 out of 10 scale is a 3 and trying to say he's a 10. Those things don't resonate. But I do believe Andy Reid understands that it's the playoffs, anything can happen. And when this team was at the height of who they are, even in winning the Super Bowl, they trailed in every game in the playoffs. He's trying to keep that from happening.
In big and all those games. Ryan Clark with us. Let's go through some of the players in this game. The first one is the big news today, Ryan. It actually looks like Juju is going to come back and play in this game. The tangible effect that he can have on this game if he plays, and do you think that that gives his team a boost? Like, hey, this guy's going to gut it out and try to play. That gives them kind of like a morale boost for a game like this.
I don't know. You know, I don't know Juju's effect in that locker room. You know, it seems like, you know, he's a guy that brings energy. He's a guy that brings toughness. And I think sometimes when you get someone like that back, who probably is the leader of the wide receiver room, I believe that can help. But I think what's most important is what can Juju provide from an offensive standpoint? Can he be big on third down? Can he give us something in the red zone? Can he be a blocker in the run? It's going to be Juju's actual contributions that I believe matter more. I think it's cool that, you know, he comes out and he fights and plays. But I think wide receiver is a weird position, you know. Like, maybe if he's Hines and he does that, you know, a guy who's a leader of a team, a captain, someone who should be in the Hall of Fame, a dude who's one of the grimiest, grittiest, most physical players to ever play the position. Maybe if he comes back because he just has a different mindset and a different game, I think it maybe affects that way. I'm not sure how Juju moves the locker room, you know, right now in Pittsburgh.
Ryan, how much impact can a fully healthy, because we know he was dealing with like broken ribs last time, how much impact can a fully healthy T.J. Watt have on this game compared to what happened the first go-round?
Oh, man, he can, you know, T.J. Watt can take over a game from his position. And that's not hyperbole. That's not guesstimation or estimation. That's film. You know, we've seen that happen from T.J. Watt. We've seen T.J. Watt be that good. And he's going to have to be that and more if he stands a chance defensively. When you look at what they were able to do without Travis Kelce last game, it was embarrassing. The Byron Pringle touchdown where, you know, there are 3 missed tackles, and Cam Hayward actually has to be the guy to drag him down in the end zone as he's running from rushing the passer. I think that game was embarrassing. Now, you want to talk about energy, and you want to talk about having a guy that brings something to a team, gives you some confidence. Now, that's what T.J. Watt does. Having a healthy T.J. Watt, understanding what type of animal you're going to have coming off edge, but he's really ready to go. I think that energizes the team. That can energize the defense. That can give you that, hey, man, remember, though, last game T.J. didn't play. Mm-hmm. And T.J. healthy. Think about what, you know what I'm saying? That can give you kind of that little excitement or give you a little push that, hey, we were missing a major piece of who we are.
Ryan, let's say for a second, hold out hope, that with Watt, Hayward, Highsmith, if I told you right now the Steelers, without blitzing and sending extra pass rushers, were able to put pressure on Mahomes with 4 guys, what do you think the offensive-defensive matchup looks like if that happens, if they're able to get pressure without having to use extra bodies to get to the quarterback?
I think it helps, right? Because they're not using extra bodies. You don't give Patrick Mahomes those one-on-one opportunities that he can dissect pre-snap because he understands where the blitzes are coming from, whether zone coverage, the zone blitzes, the faux blitzes, are coming from. I think it gives Minka an opportunity to roam a little bit more and have a little bit more freedom on the back end. And I think it also helps you from a linebacker perspective, where those guys don't have to think as much, don't have to be involved as much in the pattern matching. And so I think all those things can be good if you can get that pressure. It's also important that you're able to get that pressure into Patrick Mahomes' face, right? Flush him to the sidelines, allow guys like T.J. Watt to run him down. And so I think that getting pressure with four is paramount. It's something that you can do when you have the type of pass rushers that the Pittsburgh Steelers have. And I think when teams are most successful, and if you want to go back on the big stage and see where that was most prevalent, it was obviously in the championship or Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
When they were down offensive linemen.
Ryan, this is like a philosophy question. I'm looking at like the Chiefs stats this year, and one thing that jumps out is when they've chosen to run the football, and it's probably because of Mahomes being so good and teams are scared, they're playing too high safeties and all that, they're good at running it. They're getting 4.5 at a pop here when they run the ball.
No Allaire in this game.
It looks like Darrell Williams is dinged up with a toe. No Allaire in this game. Do you think Andy Reid's the kind of guy, it'll shorten the game if you're running the ball more in theory, do you think he's the kind of guy who, if it's there with that Steelers run defense being so bad this year, the worst in the league, that he'll actually take what's there and try to run it on them?
You know what? He's shown that he'll do that. He and Eric Bieniemy have shown that they'll do that some of the time. They haven't shown that they'll do it consistently, right? They haven't shown that they'll make that their bread and butter, or that they could be so patient that that's how they win the game. And last time against the Buffalo Bills, there was a ton of that. The Buffalo Bills decided to play back and play zone. And, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire really had a great game, and they consistently called the run. But for the most part, they get enamored with who plays quarterback. And, I mean, how could you?
Yep.
You know, when you have a guy that is that good, that's been that prolific, that explosive. And so I think they'll take the run, but they'll never change from who they are, and that's a team that's seeking the big play. And so even if you start with the run, you start taking the checkdowns, you start taking what the defense gives you, you naturally come back to who you are. And if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, that's a big play offense.
Ryan, I got in trouble in Kansas City because I went on their radio station this week and said that I think their defense might be the most overrated unit in football. Because the scoring numbers are great. I guess that's what you get paid to do. Don't let the other team score. But then you dig like a layer deeper than that, and they give up a ton of yards. Their pass defense hasn't been good. Like, I don't know. Like, they just don't. Is that a completely asinine take? Like, do you look at their defense and say, great defense, Kansas City Chiefs?
I think they're the most overrated unit. I'd have to really dig deep to figure out who's the most overrated.
But are they great? I mean, I hear great defense. I don't see great.
Who's got better defense in this game?
You know what? They aren't. They aren't a great defense. When you take the 17 games as a whole, right? They had a streak of 7 games where they were absolutely excellent. The bottom line is keep people out of the end zone.
Yep, they've done that.
They weren't. Yeah, they weren't the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. They weren't the 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers from a physicality standpoint, from a talent standpoint. But they were very good. You know, they figured out what worked for them. Chris Jones played out of his mind. And you had corners in Legarius Sneed and Treverius Ward that kind of played above their heads, along with the young linebackers, Gay and Bolton. That has changed probably the last 3 weeks of the season. Right, when you go Los Angeles Chargers, obviously the Cincinnati Bengals, and then you finish the season with the Denver Broncos. It seems that they've kind of fallen back to the mean. They aren't as awful as they were early in the season, and they definitely aren't the defense we saw during their streak. So they can certainly be had, and that's why I believe that this game, at least at times, will be much more competitive than people are giving the Pittsburgh Steelers credit for. Mm.
Ryan, we know that the Chiefs start 3-4. They get clobbered by the Titans. Then they go on that run. And coincidentally, or actually not coincidentally, they stop turning the ball over a ton pretty much right then and there. They cut way down on it. Do you think the turnovers are a thing of the past for them now? And what do you think they've done to kind of fix that problem?
Well, you know, Cincinnati hated me because I said Patrick Mahomes is broken. And Kansas City hated me, and it's been so fun Because now I just say stuff to piss them off all the time.
You know, I love like, it. But, let's go.
But
we could have used you around 3:30 on this show, actually.
That's great.
So what I normally do, right, is I start the comment out really, like, really mean. You know, Patrick Mahomes is broken. And then I go on to give an analysis that actually says he's just not playing well and there are ways to fix it. Here's what I see. Here's what's happening. And when I said that, here's what I said. I said, Patrick Mahomes is being forced to read defenses on the way back in his drops. So he's not being able to get the football out of his hands. The teams aren't giving him the one-on-one matchups to exploit. Also, during that time, I said there's been a lot of tip balls and drop balls that have resulted in interceptions. But nobody listened to the rest of what I said because I said Patrick Mahomes is broken.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was asked, who do you trust more in the playoffs, the Packers or the Chiefs, who has an easier road? I said, well, the Packers do. I said, because the Chiefs just aren't as good or aren't that good. And nobody listened to the rest of the analysis because all they heard was the Chiefs just aren't that good. The meaning was they aren't as good as the Packers. But nobody listens to that. So I say all that to say is that the turnovers were a multitude of things. They were people forcing Patrick Mahomes to be patient. They were people moving after the snap to get to their positions to have Patrick Mahomes have to digest in his drop. All of those things are true. And there also were tip footballs and drop footballs that ended up in interceptions. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a couple of fumbles. So all these things are happening. Turnovers can be a thing of the past, and yet you can still turn the football over three times in one game.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making plays, and it's about defense. It's about offensive players being on, being, you know, where they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to be there, when they are. And so I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers can force the turnovers, but they have to be forced, right? This team hasn't seemed to make the mistakes that they did early on in the season. But if you go back to Cincinnati, there should have been an interception by Eli Apple.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it should have probably been a pick six by Mike Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunities are still there, but you have to capitalize on them when you get the chance.
Ryan, I just want to say your breakdown of what you do to Chiefs fans, piss them off early and then they don't listen to the rest of it. I just want to say your time when you were still here in Pittsburgh with Andrew really clearly rubbed off on you, if that's been your strategy here.
Hey, Ryan, and I want to finish with this because you said a lot of things in this interview and this morning that were like, hey, this is the formula for the Steelers to play a much closer game. It's not going to be 30-0 again, but you just could not bring yourself to go over that finish line and pick the Steelers to win the game outright. So what is the one hang-up that has Ryan Clark saying, hey, very competitive football game, but I just can't pick the Steelers to go there and win?
I think the Kansas City Chiefs are better offensively. I think that when you look at the units that are playing in this game, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive unit is the best on the field. And even with some time in the middle of the year where you had a lull and they were carried by the defense, there was always Travis Kelce out there. There was always Brian Pringle. There was always Darrell Williams. There was always Patrick Mahomes. There was always Andy Reid calling plays. And I just still believe that. I believe that when it gets down to the end, when it's cutting time, we have the better players. And sometimes you can have all the motivation you want. You can have the only black coach left in football calling on all the ancestors of old, but he can't play the game. And I think that's in the end, I'd go with Patrick Mahomes and their skill players over Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What is it like for Ryan Clark watching a big Steelers game? Are you on a text chain with like Troy? And he's putting his two cents.
Isn't Troy like watching soccer probably?
No, Troy's probably somewhere. Troy's probably in Paisios playing soccer or at some basketball tournament. I actually don't text anybody about the Pittsburgh Steelers game. I think I'm one of those weird people who are much more loyal to people than he is places. And a lot of my people aren't really there anymore. I 100% cheer for Coach Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
I actually texted with Ben after the last game to just tell him, man, like, congratulations. You know, he really did have – he had a moment at the end of the Baltimore Ravens game. You know, the pass to Freiermuth. I mean, there are two drops in a row, one by Ray McLeod, one by Deontay Johnson. you know, and then he makes a play on fourth down. Was he great the entire game? No, he wasn't. But he was great when he needed to be. And I think that's what happens to exceptionally great football players, right? And the reason that people want them to retire, when maybe they can still do a little bit, is because you are so used to seeing them be great consistently that it's not enough for them to be great some of the time. And so I thought it was, you know, really cool to see that, you know, for Ben last week.
Ryan, you're the man. Enjoy the game Sunday night. We'll be watching you.
Thanks,
dude.
Ryan.
You're the best.
Cool, man. I'm going to eat some king cake.
I love king cake. I got married in New Orleans. Thank you, Ryan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.